And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.3 FM, or perhaps on your computer, freakradio.org. Up at you next, it's Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, the February 25th, 2018 edition, with all kinds of stuff, tape-recorded interviews indoors and out, and phone interviews with Santa Cruz activist Brent Adams. First they came for the homeless's Stacy, pushback Pat Colby from the streets of Santa Cruz, and from down L.A. way, powerheart Peggy Lee Kennedy. This will all be followed by the December 15th, 2011 flashback, and about that more as we get closer to it. That's a historic Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides show happening a week or so after the shutdown of the infamous shutdown of the Occupy Santa Cruz movement, which I was a part of, and perhaps some of you were too.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And for newcomers, Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, the show you're now listening to, focuses mainly on homeless folks, what they're up to, as well as wandering about through the halls of politics, somewhat dirty halls of politics here in Santa Cruz, and looks very closely at police conduct with a particular focus on police misconduct. And it's not that we hate all the police here. It is more that we recognize, I and those who I think are the sort of the fathers of this program, the fathers and fathers of this program in terms of those who, in whose spirit we're speaking, were concerned about the actual nature of what policing does in terms of its impact on poor people, which unfortunately is unduly harsh, unduly focused, and has more to do with preserving inequalities than in providing any kind of real justice. So we're going to begin with some interviews that took place a few days ago on, first of all, indoors at the close of the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting, group I go to every week, or every other week, actually. It's been more recently, though. Our next meeting is going to be in 4 days at the Sub Rosa Cafe, 11 o'clock, at the 703 Pacific, right next to the bike church. We're going to be meeting at have a special meeting on Wednesday because of the shutdown of the San Lorenzo campground, which is the area that homeless folks have been using, some of them, to actually set up tents, engage in survival behavior, and have been doing so with relatively few casualties. There have been a few drug overdoses, but it's been comparatively more civilized than almost any winter in Santa Cruz, although with continued heavy drug use that's happening here in Santa Cruz. But there's also been access to bathrooms. There's been a cutback in the hepatitis A problems. And there's been generally an unusually improved relationship between those who are at the San Lorenzo campground and the authorities, the Parks and Rec Rangers, who have been assigned to wander hither and yon, making sure that all is supposedly well and peaceful. And, we're going to get into that. But let's first look at some of the interviews before next Wednesday, when we're going to, unfortunately, watch the dissolution of this campground and try to document what's going on, and hopefully by our presence, the few of us who show up, and we are few in number at HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, serve as a deterrent to abusive behavior by authorities. And also, I think other activists like Brent Adams are going to be there as well. So this first interview is with an activist who attended the HUF meeting and who prefers to remain anonymous.
For weeks now, and I'm tired of it. So we're talking with
nobody.
Nobody here who is... it's about 2 o'clock on February 21st. I'm here at the Sub Rosa. Tell me about this targeting nobody.
Oh, well, it seems like some people in the town that are little piggies wanted, and others, too, want to get rid of homeless people, and because of that, I've been targeted a lot in the last 3 weeks, and all of my vitamins that I've spent 3 months paying for my vitamins for my eyes to clear my vision were taken, and my wallet, et cetera, they were taken by the cops when I was about to, I don't really want to say this on the air.
Okay, hold on. We're going to get the secret dope. So I'm talking with, you hear me, Curtis Relaford. Curtis, you're showing me a display you just showed to a court because you have one side.
Oh, you want me to tell you what happened?
Yeah, tell me what happened, Curtis.
My truck is stuck down in Houston from taking food, clothes, and building material to the Katrina. Not the Katrina, this last hurricane they had.
Right.
I had to leave my truck down there. It broke down. And come back here to go to court. And I didn't know what I was going to do, Rob. I went there, and I made my bulletin board here. And on this side, I told the judge, I said, you're under here. I got all of these awards.
Look at the congressional record in honor of Curtis Relaford.
Got
dated
all of these awards.
2005, certificates of special congressional recognition, community service award for 2005. We're looking at 6 awards on one side, and then pictures of you and your peace vehicles. Be the change you wish to see in the world. And then a series of you with other folks, looks like Native Americans, some of them in a Native headdress, teepees in the snow. Tell us some more about this.
Well, I was just telling you that I came back here from Houston to go to court. And I presented this thing telling them, this is, man, y'all, 05, you gave me all these awards, patting me on the back like I was somebody, which made my self-esteem bring myself up. And then here's where the people who I've been serving, even the people downtown, I've been giving them food, clothes, and sleeping bag, and gave them money to go across the street to get coffee. And then I turn this around, and this is what I get trying to promote peace, love, compassion, empathy for all people. And this is what the city gave me. I mean, the parking tickets are unnecessary. These sound tickets. What's wrong with a sound ticket, man? I'm up here on one end giving, and the other end down on the other side fighting and squabbling and shooting dope, killing each other. Dog, man, what do you want in this city?
Yeah, and what Curtis is talking about is he, on several occasions, I've seen him parked with his vehicle, or his vehicles. He has 2 long trucks, tall and long trucks, covered with posters and slogans and pictures, sort of pressing for peace and justice in the manner of, at least the message of Martin Luther King. And he often plays music, and I've even seen and joined him dancing on top of his vehicle. And he's African-American himself, of course. And he runs an organization called Follow Your Heart, where he donates food to different disaster areas. So he's described that a little bit in this interview. And he gets ticketed for what he does. And he was, on this particular day, showing a placard on one side, as I said, which has the various commendations and awards he's received. On the other, the whole mass of amplified sound without a permit, or amplified sound in denial of a permit. I didn't look with any extreme care at these citations. I've covered Curtis in the past. Anyway, let's hear a little more of his description of what went down.
They want money in this city is what they want.
But I just wanted to show you that, man, because this don't make sense, right?
Well, what you have there, of course, are the yellow citations, which are, what, about $300 or $400 each, right?
This $700, this $400, this is $380.
And what have you done with these tickets? Have you had to pay them? Are you doing community service? What are you up to?
No, I had to pay these tickets here because I wasn't here to take care of them. And this last one they gave me, I'm doing a community service, 50-some hours.
And you're still doing real community service across the street.
This here was a sound permit. I got a sound permit, and they still shut me down. After even getting the pen for the sound permit. And I walk up the street, and there's this other guy, this white guy down here, and his sound is loud as mine, and it's just blaring. Nobody said nothing. Nobody said turn it down. It's because he's known and all of this. And I don't know. I feel that it's a racism move. And this Echo, little store right over here, they giving me, they write out a ticket of them own. The cops just gave me a ticket, and they saying it's a ticket from that store.
Citizen arrest.
Citizen arrest, that's what it's called. And they giving me a ticket. That's racism, Rob. That's what come up for me, because it ain't the first time they did that.
And it's interesting because Curtis is not really in the habit of claiming that racism is the motivating factor of the kind of harassment that he reports with some frequency from Santa Cruz police. I've tended to regard it as that myself, but I think he's been cautious about making those claims. He just claims it's unfortunate, it's inappropriate, it's uncalled for. He hasn't spoken a lot that I remember as it's being racist, but now he's pretty clear about that interpretation.
And I went over there and pleaded with them and asked them, if it's too loud, just tell me, I'll turn it down.
What did they say?
Whoever was in there at that time was okay with it. They was, oh, we love your music. And then you turn around, bam. But it was a lady who was doing this, helped me raise money for Standing Rock. And then they did a fundraiser using my nonprofit status. And do you know they used the money? Only God knows where that money went. They didn't even give me the money after they used the money to use my 501c3.
How long ago was that?
Money. It's Standing Rock in December. I got to go now. But in Standing Rock is when they did that. And that's why they saying that. That's why they told the cops that they're making a citizen arrest.
Weird.
That's racism.
Well, perhaps not so weird.
No, that's racism.
How's the...
And that, the store involved is, that Curtis was pointing out, is a store called Echo, which is right next to New Leaf Market on Pacific Avenue, for anyone interested in further researching this issue.
Community treating you otherwise?
The community treat me just fine. It's just as one or two just makes me go back in the past and trigger that stuff up. This is a great community. I love this community. I'm grateful to be here.
Can you afford to be here? It looks like they're charging you to death.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm living here. I work. I'm a hard worker. That's how I get to stay here. I do landscape work, and these people need they work around the house.
Are you indoors or outdoors in your living accommodation, if you wish to say?
No, I'm living homeless up there in the mountains where I'm at on Glenwood Drive. Y'all might look at me like I'm all that when I'm wearing them suits, but, man, I'm struggling just as hard as you are because I don't carry myself in raggedness. I grew up in raggedness on that plantation in cotton sacks and itchy sweaters. I grew up like that, and I'm not living like that long as I can afford and pull stuff out of my donation and dress like a gentleman, like I respect my 32 years clean and sober, like I respect the spirit who got me on this path of caring and sharing for people, helping people. So that's why I dress up like that, in honor of that, because I'm going to make a speech about it, or I'm going to a church and sit down and listen at what direction to take. So, you know, people can't judge the book by the cover.
But they do, of course.
I don't care what they do. I know what I'm doing.
You're here. Well,
but that's what I wanted to show you.
How can people get in touch with the kind of work you're doing?
Go to my website is one thing. FollowYourHeartActionNetwork.com. FollowYourHeartActionNetwork.com. Or you can call me, 831-246-4240.
Any court appearances coming up you want people to show up at?
Nah, I'm going by myself. People don't show when I ask anyway, so...
Keep me advised as to what happens if you want, man.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
We've been talking with...
Curtis Relaford.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
And we're down on Pacific in front of Bohemian Boutique. Oh, we're listening to the music of Lee. You're here chewing a bit of chocolate, but you have some sad news.
Yes, four of our homeless died from hypothermia from it being so cold here in Santa Cruz. We're needing blankets, we're needing coats, we're needing a safe place to sleep where it's warm.
How has it been for you the last 6 months with the supposed changes in sleeping ban enforcement by Chief Mills?
More ticket after tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
So how many tickets would you say you've acquired in the last month, say?
Month? None.
That's very good. How did you do that?
Moved our car into Merrick's mom's driveway.
So you moved onto private property.
Property. Because if you're not, it's a $155 fine and you can't fight them.
And this is what we're talking about, parking tickets?
Parking tickets, sleeping ban tickets. If you're anywhere near or around your vehicle, it is a $175 fine if you are caught sleeping.
Now, the last time this happened to you was...
4 months ago.
And where were you?
City Hall.
City Hall? What were you doing at City Hall? Registering a complaint, perhaps?
Yes, I was. And it's when we were doing the sleep out, and me and my husband just saved a person who was ODing, another one that had a grand mal seizure that morning, and we're given the ticket.
And what Sharon is talking about, actually, the Freedom Sleepers ended in June. So she's actually referring to a time that's about 8 months ago, by my reckoning. But who's counting?
And name of the cop who gave you the ticket, if you remember?
I do not.
Have you had any other citations from officers in that period?
No.
And would you say things have gotten better at all?
Do not cap out on Highway 1.
Tell me about that.
No. You used to be able to cap out on Highway 1. Now they put up no parking signs. Anywhere from Santa Cruz to Big Basin, it's also a fine now, and they will tow your vehicle. You can end up losing your vehicle.
Are you thinking of Highway 9?
Yes.
You said Highway 1, so I was wondering.
Yeah, Highway 9.
You've been around for how long now?
I've been here in Santa Cruz County, volunteered at the Homeless Service Center for 25 years. I volunteered at the Boardwalk. I volunteer at the Red Church. I've been here 32 years.
Better, worse, the same?
The same. The sleeping band's been here for 45 of them. That's how old I am, okay? And I'm like, it's not going to go away, guys.
So you have not noticed a change in the sleeping band?
No, I have not. And I think it's ridiculous that they're making them sleep over by City Hall. It's like a conservation camp. It's where they're moving them to.
And the sleeping band itself, the Municipal Code 6.36010A, which actually bans the act of sleeping between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m., not enforced over the winter on public property at night by Sheriff Mills' men and the Parks and Rec Rangers, but again, in danger, in my view, of being enforced again with the abolition of the San Lorenzo campground on the 28th of February and the movement of the herding of people into a very small substitute government-run campground, city-run campground at 1220 River Street called the River Street Campground. The San Lorenzo campground goes down, and this new campground enters, which is, as you'll hear me talk about with Brent Adams, I believe intended as a pretext for cracking down on visible homeless folks elsewhere in the city and serving only a very small number of them. The Homeless Service Center itself is actually only about 19 years old. It began in 1999 under the current name. Before that, there was an organization similar to it, somewhat smaller, called the Homeless Community Resource Center, which itself began under that name around 1991, 92, and it was previously called Free Meal. It was created by activists out at the area where the homeless, what I call lack of services center, the 115 Coral Street area, where there is currently a limited closed program that does not serve the homeless community generally, but only a fraction of it, those supposedly with a, quote, pathway to housing as part of the current mythology that homeless services are directing homeless people into housing in any meaningful numbers and in any meaningful time frame. Let's hear some more for what Sharon has to say.
I know that there's this new River Street campground that's opening up at 1220 River. Have you heard about that?
Yes, and it's going to be a joke, too.
Tell me about that, what your thoughts are.
Why my thoughts are about on that? Okay, it's because we had a homeless service center here. It got shut down, lack of funds. I worked there. The new lot that they're building supposedly for the homeless is not going to have bathrooms adequately. It's not going to have adequate dump areas for trash and all of that. So they're going to get ran out of there, too, by the city.
So Coral Street is actually open, but it's not open to homeless. It's just open to people who get into a program, right?
Yes. It's people that want to get into programs. The family shelter is still open. And here's the problem. They don't even feed the homeless anymore.
At least they don't feed the ordinary people who come by. If you're in the program, I think it gets fed, right?
Yes. If you're in the Paige Smith, the Reveille Family Shelter, our River Street.
Or Paul Lee.
Our Paul Lee Loft, they do not get fed.
Oh, really?
They do not. And the only way you can get into Paul Lee Loft, which I think is a joke, the loft used to be open to anybody who needed shelter. Now, if you are not having an income, are mentally challenged, and HBHB volunteers to put you in there, you're not getting in. They're only letting people in that are on disability into Paul Lee shelter now.
Gloomy news all around, but you're still out here. What does your sign say, or should I look?
homeless, down on luck. Anything will help. We are going to see more of these if they do not make some changes around here, people, with the sleeping ban, places for the homeless to sleep.
Why don't you give away change to panhandlers? But I guess in your case, I'll make an exception. We've been talking with...
Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. Say that again, Sharon.
Eric, who is my husband, ME, not last night, but the night before, woke up with an inch and a half of ice on the windshield in the inside of our vehicle.
Now, you predict more homeless deaths from hypothermia.
Yes, I do.
And what about inter-homeless theft? A lot of that has been happening, or intra-homeless theft. Is it more than in the past, do you think?
Yes, and it's because of it being so cold. People are stealing other people's clothes, blankets, shoes, tents, whatever they can get to stay warm. And it's because before, the reason why it wasn't happening is the fire department was nice enough to come to Coral Street at Christmas time and hand out everybody brand new sleeping bags, jackets, gloves. Now we're not getting the funds that we're needing to keep the homeless safe and warm.
How are you doing with your fundraising on Pacific Avenue?
Slim to nothing.
Well, I would say stay warm, but that sounds like kind of a joke.
Yes, it is a joke, especially when it's only going to get colder.
And again, we've been listening to...
Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
I keep telling all my homies that are...
You advise the homies are...
Stick together. The colder it gets, the more of our homies are dying. And the only way how they're going to get medical attention if they're separate is if another partner is there with them to call 911. Because it's only going to get colder, guys. It's going to drop down into the 30s. And this morning when I woke up at 8 o'clock, it was still 42 degrees outside.
Thank you, Sharon.
So.
And indeed, temperatures have dropped in the days since I spoke with Sharon, which was about 4 or 5 days ago.
And some old faces sitting at the coffee roasting company, even in the chilly weather. And a man who is doing some hefty juggling here on the sidewalk. 3 9-pins, 10-pins. All right. It says, donate to a journey or donate to an old man's folly. Every year journey takes you, be blessed and amazing. Juggle, donate to an old man's education. So how long have you been juggling for free radio?
I took 20 years off, and then I started juggling just before Christmas.
And you're back at your old tricks, in other words.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm getting there.
Well, what about the? When are we going to see the fireballs?
Oh, thank you.
I think I will pause while you get a little donation. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your...
Oh, no, no problem.
No hassles from gendarmes for juggling on Pacific?
Oh, no, not since last year.
And that's right, you were... he tried to haul you, Azua tried to haul you away, didn't he?
Yeah, that's when I first started juggling again. You know, that's when I was... I had my little dream back to sit down there and put it together. Entertain little kids.
We got some support, and the result was Azua had to back off, and they reaffirmed that juggling is legal on Pacific Avenue. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
And in honor of that, you get a piece of chocolate.
There we go.
All right, and we've been talking with
David Ridley.
Thanks, David. Anything happened today or in the last few days on Pacific you want to comment on?
Oh, no. It's been nice. Cold, but nice.
Good. And chilly, that's for damn sure. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too, David.